You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Definitely the show does go on. What's up, folks? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene podcast show. Right now, I'm going solo. Yes, and I'm talking about I'm talking about me, Wally-O, and Mr. Engineer, you know who that is. But Will T, Ray Jeezy, and Fish couldn't make it today, so I'm doing it on solo. Man, first off, I want to get a shout-out to the individuals who attended my 30th birthday party, man. It was wild, man. We was popping bottles like superstars, but it's all good. First course of action, we're gonna get into the pregame. The Caps advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup. I think it was a good sign for the Caps to advance in the second round to show some of the people out there that the Caps are for real. They're not the same Caps that choked. They took out the Rangers in five, which I did predict. So, you know, Ray, you're not the only one who's 85%. I think I am getting close toward that 85% anyway. But, they had their big players came to play. Great goaltending by Neuvirth. Alexander Ovechkin had a hell of a series to me. I think he scored in almost every game. And especially that comeback game when they were down, I believe, 3-0 in the second period. No, 3-0 in the third period. And Johansson had two key goals, and I forgot who had the tying goal in regulation, but it was a good game. They came back from three down in the third period, took it to overtime, I think, and then won in the second overtime, I believe. So, the Caps are doing it big. I think that this is different from any Caps team. I think this team is poised to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's just my opinion. From a great coach in Bruce Boudreau to a scandalous coach in Ohio State, we now hear that Jim Tressel from the Ohio State Buckeyes is now being now the NCAA has alleged him of not giving them the total truth when it comes to the Buckeyes players accepting favors from the tattoo parlor. I think the dude should be fired. I think it's ridiculous how every team that he's been coaching under or was Youngstown State, he had the same negative situation, and he had to leave there to come to Ohio State, and now this has followed him. Obviously, this is a dirty coach. You know, as a Michigan fan, I don't care for him, but I think that this dude is dirty, and he needs to be talked about as one of the dirty coaches in college sports. We always hear about John Calipari in terms of how he's ruined institutions, UMass, Memphis, but we have a guy here that did it in a different division in terms of college football, and now came to D1 and is doing it here in Ohio State, a historical college football program. Tressel definitely should be out. From coming from a situation of college sports, we're now going to go into the NFL. The NFL players have temporarily ended a 45-day-old lockout due to a decision by the courts, the federal courts. I think it was a good win for the players. A small group of players tried to get into their team facilities and were not allowed to go in. That's interesting. I think this cat and mouse game is getting ridiculous. I think it's time for the league. It's time for the owners, and it's time for the players to mature up. The players wanted to go into the facility and work out, and they weren't allowed to. So I think it's kind of weird. It makes no sense to me. Please, if y'all have any questions about this whole thing, tweet us, Facebook us, like us. You know, just hit us up because there's a big thing going on. But you know, from the NFL to the NBA. It's playoff time. There's no off season. So when we get back from commercial break, you'll be tuned into the Urban Sports Scene. Wally-O, solo, holla at me.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Well, time to recap the NBA playoffs. I know I've talked about it. I talked about it barely at the transition point after the pregame. But, yeah, man, I predicted Boston to knock out the Knicks in a sweep. Matter of fact, I did predict that. I think we have individuals on Twitter, you know, my man Tim DeGroote, he had the Knicks competing with the Celtics. I told him no. We had my man Trouble 23. He also had the Knicks competing with the Celtics. A lot of individuals were hyped up when the Knicks pushed Boston to the brink in terms of having an opportunity to steal a couple games in Boston. But me, I looked at the pattern, you know, in the regular season, the Knicks always played Boston tough, but always choked at the end. And I've always said, if you can't beat a team in a regular season at all, how can you compete with a team in the postseason? No, it's a pattern. Obviously, if a team is beating you consistently, you're going to try your hardest to beat them eventually, and it never happened. So I put that into the equation, and that's why I felt that Boston couldn't lose to the Knicks, you know. The Knicks don't play defense. I know Ray says I beat a dead horse. I beat a dead horse. I mean, the Knicks couldn't beat Boston. Boston is better defensively, better coached. They run better sets within the 2-minute drill of the end of a game. They can lock in eventually to whatever you do the best. Now, people are going to say Chauncey Billups didn't play. Well, you know, they didn't say anything when Tony Douglas hit that big three. They didn't say we missed Chauncey from that game. People actually thought Tony Douglas might be an X factor and be a positive player. But what happened was Boston regrouped. They went to New York, took certain people out, made it hard for Amari to do anything. And that's what happened. And now, you know, Boston is waiting for Miami actually to get into that second round so they can play Boston in an epic series, epic possible series. Now, from a team in the Celtics who didn't have any problems, who are a champion, to a team that are former champions that have a big problem with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm talking about the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs, I don't know if the Spurs can come back. I would like to say they're the heart of the champion, but they look defeated, honestly. I think the Grizzlies dominated game four. The Grizzlies dominated game four. They led by Zach Randolph. OJ Mayo's putting some punch off the bench. And Mike Conley Jr. is going toe-to-toe with Tony Parker. Tim Duncan doesn't look like Tim Duncan. I think we all have heard the talk about how they've saved Tim Duncan for this point in the season, and it's just not showing. It's showing me that Tim Duncan's not ready to compete. He's not ready to actually carry this team to the championship. I'm a big fan of Tim Duncan. I loved him in Wake Forest, but this team doesn't look ready. Doesn't look ready at all. And from a series that, you know, from another series, it looks kind of lopsided. From this series, it looks lopsided to another season that seemed lopsided before last night's game. I'm talking about the Denver Nuggets and the OKC Thunder. That game, OKC finally, they finally stole the game. Denver finally stole the game against OKC. We saw how great Ty Lawson looked last night. I do have a problem with OKC. I thought that they could have had an opportunity to actually end Denver's run, which I did think that Denver would probably, I did think Denver would knock out OKC. I've said that on Twitter numerous of times, but I was wrong. It seems like I'm wrong about that whole situation. But I have to say, who is the man in the last seconds for OKC? That's the question. When I watched that game, Russell Westbrook was taking most of the big shots, and I totally disagree with that whole situation. We all know that Kevin Durant is that dude on the team. Kevin Durant is the best player on OKC. Now, do I sense a little friction between something? Do I sense jealousy? Do I sense jealousy between Russell Westbrook for KD? I mean, if I'm going to shoot a three, I'm not going to Russell Westbrook to shoot a three. I'm going to Kevin Durant, who was knocking down shots during the last 3 minutes of that game. It wasn't Russell Westbrook to me, but somebody telling me, I don't know. Email me, please. Email the Urban Sports Scene at change.da.game6@gmail.com. It's weird. I don't see why Coach Brooks would even allow that. I mean, you need structure within your team, and if that's what's going on, something's wrong with the whole situation. But you know, from a team from another series, but we're going from the Denver Nuggets series. We're going to go to a more competitive series, and that's the Dallas Mavericks versus the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm very interested to know how we all seen the Dallas pretty much dominated game five. I want to see what Nate McMillan's going to come up with next game. It's interesting. I thought the foul discrepancy of game five was ridiculous, honestly. I think, if you look at how Dirk and company got to the line, I believe Tyson Chandler might have gotten to the line more than the whole Portland Trailblazers team. And we're talking about Tyson Chandler. How come Tyson Chandler's getting more respect than Andre Aldridge? I mean, sorry, not Andre Aldridge, excuse me, LaMarcus Aldridge. How come Tyson Chandler's getting more respect than LaMarcus Aldridge? It's stupid. I think that the referees need to realize who's throwing their body around and what player is really getting fouled. Now, Tyson Chandler's a hell of a defender, but it seems like Tyson Chandler is bumping LaMarcus Aldridge too often in the block. To me, maybe I'm wrong. Somebody tell me something differently. I don't see it. I really don't. I think it's ridiculous what the referees are doing. Hopefully Portland can take game six. But I'll say this. I do think game six obviously is important to Portland. But I'm going to go one notch further. I think game six is very important to Dallas. I'm not going to say more, but it's very important to Dallas just because of their past. In a game seven, do you really trust Dirk Nowitzki to pull it through? That's all I'm saying. If that's your star, we've seen that he's mentally weak since the Miami series when they lost that championship game to D-Wade and Shaq and company. Do you really trust Dirk? That's the question now. Do you trust Dirk? Because me personally, I don't trust Dirk. I don't see him doing anything big. I can't see him taking this team to the championship. I just can't. You know, I always say, You're as good as your leader. Your leader has a trickle down effect. And I think Dirk is a mentally weak individual. And that's why he couldn't beat, the Miami Heat in that final. That's why he couldn't beat the Golden State Warriors, because they were tougher and they wanted it more. I don't see how Dirk can lead this team to a championship, you know. But let's not talk about, you know, the games of yesterday and things like that. So let's talk about today's games. Orlando tied up the series. Orlando put it to a 3-2 series. They dominated Atlanta tonight. Jameer Nelson had a good game. I really didn't watch the game as much, but I see that he had a good game. I expected Orlando to win this game, but, you know, I think that Atlanta will close it out tonight, actually. I mean, not tonight, excuse me. Atlanta will close it out in game six. I just can't see how this is going to have a trickle down effect to game six. I think it's too much pressure on Orlando. I think they're going to need Hedo Turkoglu to get consistent. It's going to be on the road. Dwight's going to be Dwight, but they have to get consistent. I mean, we all know that role players don't necessarily knock down these shots in big time situations. And we'll see them how they can do it on the road. I think role players play better at home. So I want to see how Hedo Turkoglu is going to play in Atlanta. Because that would be the key in game six, if they can, you know, knock off Atlanta at home and push this game to a game seven at Orlando. So it's going to be interesting. Dwight needs this. But like I said, the key to the, for Orlando to, like I've just mentioned his name a number of times, the key for Orlando to get back in this series is, to me, is to get Hedo Turkoglu back and going like he did a couple of years ago when he was on Orlando and they went to the finals. If Hedo Turkoglu can get that swagger back, I think we'll see, we can possibly see Orlando get into the second round, which, you know, I think they will probably play, which I'm about to talk about next, is Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls in the Indiana series. I think they'll be playing Chicago. Indiana has tried their best to compete. Matter of fact, I believe the Indiana Pacers, the last time I checked, were down about 13 to the Bulls. The Indiana and Chicago series, I think it showed a weakness for the Bulls. I think inside, we see that if Roy Hibbert has been effective, and a matter of fact, in game one, we saw how effective on a pick and roll, pick and pop, how effective Tyler Hansbrough can be. Now, you know, in Orlando, if Orlando could get lucky and sneak in and play Chicago, it's a good matchup for Orlando, I think, against Chicago. You have Dwight Howard, which is a big that Noah can't really guard. You have, just like you saw Tyler Hansbrough on the pick and pop, you have Bass, who can pick and pop, and it has a great mid-range jump shot. I think it's a good matchup for Orlando. And I think if Orlando plays solid defense, and plus you have Dwight Howard guarding the basket, it's pretty much going to force Derrick Rose to be more of a perimeter player. And we saw in the Indiana series with Chicago, Derrick Rose can do whatever he wants because he can finish over a Roy Hibbert. But I don't see him finishing over a Dwight Howard. So I think that matchup is ideal for, I mean, that's the matchup Chicago would not want going into the second round. But if they do play Atlanta, Chicago can get to the Eastern Conference Finals easily. That's just my opinion. I'm going with the enter, and we're going from a so-so series to a strong series, and we're talking about the New Orleans Hornets and the LA Lakers. I'm sick and tired of hearing the Lakers, when the Lakers get into a competitive series or they fall in a rut, that people always say the Lakers are bored. I think it's a cop-out. Lakers aren't bored. When you look at this series, they're not bored at all. They're not disinterested in the series. What is going on is that they're playing a team that's working hard. This team in New Orleans is a strong team. It's a strong team that's working hard. Barkley said, it wasn't a commentator, excuse me. Like Barkley said, while I think it was a post game, he said, like, this New Orleans team reminds him of the Houston Rockets a couple years ago when they played the Lakers. I'm sorry, not a couple years ago. I believe it was last year. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. When they played the Lakers in the playoffs and they pushed the Lakers to a game seven. Matter of fact, it was a couple years ago because they had Ron Artest. Yeah. When they pushed the Lakers to game seven. And this team is doing the same. This New Orleans team has that same grit, that same toughness about them. They got Landry, who's on that team, matter of fact. Who's playing the same way, just, you know, trying to work as hard as he can against, you know, Lamar Odom and Gasol and Bynum. You have Gray, who's, you know, trying to be that tall enforcer for him, who's giving you his all. And, you know, I mean, and also you have that Houston Rockets team had, obviously Chris Paul is way better, but they had Brooks, who gave Derek Fisher fits because of his speed and his dribbling ability to get by him. And this is what Chris Paul is doing. He is dribbling and getting by Derek Fisher. And matter of fact, he's embarrassing Derek Fisher on national TV. CP3 is embarrassing Derek Fisher on national TV. And I'll go even one further. He's embarrassing Kobe Bryant on national TV for even trying to check him. Chris Paul is giving Kobe Bryant the business. And if Kobe wants to keep talking about that ankle, Chris Paul can make it much worse if he keeps playing with him. So I want to see how they're gonna guard Chris Paul on a pick and roll. And how can they truly guard him on an isolation play? Because Chris Paul is scoring in very different ways, and especially when they have Chris Paul jacking the same lineup, there's no break for Kobe Bryant or Derek Fisher, especially for Derek Fisher, because even if Kobe Bryant checks Even if Kobe Bryant is checking Chris Paul, and he's not really doing a great job, I don't care what anybody tells me. They can hype up Kobe's defense all they want. He's not doing the greatest job. When once you put Jared Jack out there, he's another guy who can score off the pick and roll. So I would definitely want to see how that's going to work out. But, you know, like I said earlier, I mentioned Kobe Bryant's injury. And with that injury, I think it might not be a serious injury, but it does limit Kobe Bryant a little bit. And I think it definitely gives or it does give the Hornets more of a chance, I say, to pull this series off. Because now all they need is one. All they need is one in L.A. And I always said this as being an old-time Lakers fan from back in the day. Playing in LA is not the most intimidating place to play at. You can win games at LA. The Lakers and New Orleans has already done it. All you got to do is one more time. And if Chris Paul has that great game again, like he had in game one, like he had in game three. Sorry, not game three. I apologize. In game four, we can see maybe New Orleans being up 3-2. Now, do I see this truly happening? Not really. I can't see New Orleans with their limited team, especially without David West, to knock out the Lakers in the first round. Even though I'm not a Lakers fan, I'm not a Kobe fan, but I just can't see it happening. It'll be too hard, you know. It'd be way too hard. It'd be something that Chris Paul, who is, like I said, probably the second best point guard going in the NBA. Yes, Will, I said the second best point guard. It's something he's going to have to really carry this team more than he's ever done just to finish off Kobe Bryant and the Lakers because he's high strung and he's high will. But, you know, we all know that Chris Paul was one of the great draft picks of the NBA in this last decade. But, you know, we're going to switch over to the NFL. We're talking about the NFL draft when we come back from commercial break.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
No, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
You can catch us on the Apple D's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. I was on the show last Sunday, I believe. I was definitely on it last Sunday, excuse me. And we were talking about an array of things. We were talking about Bobby Knight's comments about John Calipari and how, you know, were they warranted? Would he have his own ulterior motive? Was he jealous of Calipari? And I disagreed with it. I didn't think he was jealous. I thought that was just Bobby Knight's MO. I mean, that's his thing. He believes in a high graduation rate. He did the same thing in Indiana. So it wasn't a big thing to me. I think that, like I said, I think in previous shows, John Calipari cares about the player. And he's doing the best for the player, in my opinion. His track record speaks volumes. If you've seen what he's done of late, look at Derrick Rose, who, matter of fact, the Chicago Bulls have increased the lead to a 23-point lead. So this game is over. It's shut down. Chicago's definitely going to the second round. But, you know, as you know, Tyreek Evans, Derrick Rose, I know I'm missing somebody else, John Wall. These are players that he's brought into the who has helped them get to the NBA and become first picks become lottery picks and a couple of them became first picks overall. So he has a track record of staying the best for his players. So big up to Calipari to me, honestly. He cares about the players. I can say you can't say that about the NCAA. Also, You can catch us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Stiller Fan. Those are great guys. Last week there was technical difficulties, so you didn't get a chance to hear me or Ray or Will or even Fish on the Sports Crib. You'll probably hear us this week. I might not be able to make it. I've said that. I've told my partner Ray already ahead of time, but he might be able to make it. Hopefully he can do it and we can represent the urban sports scene on the Sports Crib. But yeah, like I mentioned, before last commercial break, the NFL draft starts Thursday, which I still can't get myself around the draft starting on Thursday night. I think it's stupid. I think it's better. You have a better opportunity just to watch it on a Saturday noon. They used to have it at noon because everybody can listen, watch it at that time. Thursday night, things can go down. Like, you know, somebody might want to go out on a Thursday night. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you get the whole, in terms of the draft, you don't get the best of it. And especially, you know, with the whole lockout situation. Well, the players are for 45. They are, the lockout is temporarily ended, but, especially during this whole ordeal, is it really worth it to watch on a Thursday? That's my opinion, is no, but who am I? You know what I mean? Just a regular dude trying to give y'all regular information. So we're going to go into the drafts in terms of the mock drafts. Right now, I'm looking at a mock draft from draftcountdown.com. And the first pick overall they have for the Carolina Panthers is Cam Newton. Now, I'm a big Cam Newton fan, but I don't think this is the need for the Carolina Panthers. And let me tell you why. The Carolina Panthers drafted Jimmy Clausen. Now, whatever you think of Jimmy Clausen, it was just a rookie year. And last year, it's hard to give Jimmy Clausen a fair grade when Jimmy Clausen didn't have any talent to play with him at certain skill positions. Steve Smith was out most of the season, I believe, with an injury. And his wide receivers were some young guys. Some young wide receivers. I think Dwayne Jarrett was, he flopped. Geddes was okay. So, I mean, they didn't have anything spectacular around him to make him look good. So I think it's an unfair judgment you can put on Jimmy Clausen when he didn't have any talent. Now, if you put Cam Newton on that team, I don't think it's a good play at all. It's the same thing Jimmy Clausen. What are you giving Cam Newton? What are you building around Cam Newton? Sure, you have a good running back in Jonathan Stewart, but what else do you have? There isn't a particular great wide receiver. Is Steve Smith still playing on the high side of his career? Is he? We don't know. I think if you give Jimmy Clausen the same chance, he can do something. And plus, Jimmy Clausen can still be effective. You never know. And why waste that draft pick on a quarterback when you can get some other players that you need? You need some help on the D-line. You know what I mean? They need some. Why not get Marcell Dareus? Who's a highly touted D tackle from Alabama. I think Marcell Dareus would be a good fit. Matter of fact, I think the best player overall is Patrick Peterson. And I think he'd be great in Carolina. So for me personally, if I was the Carolina Panthers, I would take the best rated player in my opinion. I would take Patrick Peterson. That's just my opinion. Two, they have the Denver Broncos Marcell Dareus. I have no complaints with that. I think the Denver Broncos need help in the interior pick. Now we go for Buffalo. They have Buffalo getting Von Miller, which I do not like. Buffalo needs a quarterback, and I actually think Cam Newton is perfect for Buffalo. He can sit behind Fitzpatrick, who played well last season, so he can learn because he played in the spread offense. People, we have to realize that even though we like what he brings as a leader, he played in the spread offense, and he's going to need some time to learn the NFL system. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. So I think seeing Cam Newton being in Buffalo, sitting, watching, will give him a better chance to become a great quarterback in the NFL. And then they got the Cincinnati Bengals next. They got the Bengals getting A.J. Green. You know what? I actually like this pick. I think A.J. Green's a hell of a wide receiver. Now, I'll say this much. I do like Julio Jones more than I like A.J. Green. I think Julio Jones is bigger. He's fast. Not faster, because A.J. Green is just as fast. But A.J. Green runs better routes than Julio Jones, from what I hear. But I think that I liked Julio Jones' body of work ever since his freshman year. I thought he, especially in a run-producing offense, he did his thing at the wide receiver position where he didn't really have the greatest passers throwing him the ball, you know. So I would definitely like to say, that, you know, Julio Jones is a better player than AJ Green, in my opinion, but we can't get mad with the Cincinnati Bengals taking AJ Green. It's a good pick, I believe, that for them. Now they got the Arizona Cardinals, which is an interesting situation. If the Arizona Cardinals do not trade and get Don McNabb, which I hear Don McNabb has a trade in progress, possibly with the Minnesota Vikings, the website Draft Countdown has the Arizona Cardinals selecting Blaine Gabbert. See, I kind of think Blaine Gabbert is a potential bust. Now, I don't understand how he can have this high position for one year of basically college ball to me, of being something special. His story seems scary. If anything, if I was going to take a quarterback at the fifth pick from this position, you know, I've talked down upon him, but I think I still like his body of work compared to Blaine Gabbert. I would go with Ryan Mallett. Ryan Mallett would be a better position, better place for the Arizona Cardinals. I think Ken Whisenhunt had a similar quarterback in Pittsburgh, named Ben Roethlisberger. I think Ryan Mallett can move around the pocket. He's not the fastest, but Ben Roethlisberger isn't the fastest. And Ryan Mallett has a cannon. Big Ben had a cannon. I think Ryan Mallett would be a good fit in Arizona. Maybe Arizona wants to trade down and get him. That'd be a good place for him. But we'll see about that one. That one's still suspect. They have Cleveland Browns selecting Robert Quinn, which I like. I like that pick. I think Robert Quinn is good. So a lot of these guys are having, you know, Patrick Peterson slip real far. If Patrick Peterson does slip to the Cleveland Browns, if you can team him up with what's the young kid the young cornerback from Cleveland who's from the D.C. metropolitan area, Hayden. If you can team Hayden with Patrick Peterson, you have a dynamic cornerback combo. In Cleveland, if you do want to go that route, or they can try to get Von Miller, who I am a fan of, is Von Miller, and team him on that three, because I believe they run a 3-4. Put him on a 3-4, have him on the end, rushing the passer. I mean, you can't go wrong having a hybrid linebacker, defensive end, who is versatile enough to get you big plays, and you know Von Miller can play against the pass, and as well as rush. The 49ers. Now they have the 49ers getting Patrick Peterson. If this happens, this is great. But I kind of think Patrick Peterson could be gone by then, you know. But if he does slip there, the 49ers will get Patrick Peterson. But I'll give you a sleeper who the 49ers, I think, should think about getting: Julio Jones. If you team up Michael Crabtree and Julio Jones, that is a dangerous combination wide receiver position. Now they obviously gonna need a quarterback, and they might be interested in getting Christian Ponder in the second round if possible. But if they decide to keep Alex Smith or whoever, you can team up, like I said, Julio Jones and Michael Crabtree, and you have a dangerous wide receiving combo, which San Francisco's been looking for a while now, to have that potent wide receivers, so they can have that high octane offense they're looking for. I mean, we see it. They have the great tight end in Davis. That'll be Julio Jones, Michael Crabtree. You have Ted Ginn in the slot, Gore in the backfield. It's a dangerous team. That probably could propel the 49ers to playoff contention, like where they really want to be at. And I think that'd be a great pick for them. And the Tennessee Titans have the eighth pick, and they have them getting Nick Fairley. Nick Fairley, we saw how big and how bad he played in the national championship game. Obviously, they're trying to replace Albert Haynesworth. I think that's a good pick. If they get lucky, which, you know, like I said, this draft is deep with defensive talent. That if Marcell Dareus slips to Tennessee, I think that'd be a good pick. Either or, I think you can't go wrong with that. Dallas Cowboys, they got him getting Tyron Smith from USC. Not gonna lie, I don't know enough about this position. I mean, this player. I do know that the Cowboys do need help on the O-line, and this guy plays tackle. So, and he's from USC, which has a good pedigree of O-linemen. So I can say that, you know, this is probably a good pick for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this is the big one. This pick is the best pick of them all. The Washington Redskins. The 10th pick and the last pick that I'm going to break down today is the Washington Redskins. What would I do with this pick? Now, they have us getting Julio Jones. Big fan of, love Julio Jones. But you know what? I'm still a big fan. I know he hasn't played. I know people keep saying he's weak. Big fan of Malcolm Kelly. I like Malcolm Kelly. Think Malcolm Kelly's going to come back and do some great things for the Redskins. You'll see in the preseason, won't lie, if we have a season. But I think the Redskins should trade down. We need draft picks, fellas. We need draft picks, fans. We suck. We're going to be terrible this year. It's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. As a diehard Skins fan, I see bad things happening this season for us. And if we waste time and don't use this draft pick correctly and try to get multiple drafts, because we're going to lose, chances are we're going to lose Rocky McIntosh. We're going to lose Carlos Rogers. We're going to lose, we lost Dockery. We lost a lot of Andre Carter, players like that. We're going to need players to help us out. Now we did pick the safety from the St. Louis Rams on Tagway, but we need players, good players to fill up this roster. You know, we still need help at running back. We're going to need help in wide receiver. Because chances are we might not sign Santana Moss. So do we just take that pick and take Julio Jones, who's to me is going to be a stud? But we need help. We need help in various different places. You know. I would like to get Von Miller to help that defense. We need a draft to build this 3-4 to be a dominant defense. We still need a nose tackle. If we're not going to keep Big Albert, we're going to need another end who can hold their blocker so we can stop the run. There's so much that we need. So why take this pick with a superstar player and try to do what Bill Parcells has done? You know, trade down and get a bunch of groceries to shop for. Why not do that? You tell me, Skins fans. I mean, I'm gonna tweet this out there and you tell me what move you would do. You know, Urban Sports Scene, tweet us, please. I'm telling you, because this is a decision that, as a Redskin fan, I'm thinking to myself, like, what's the best move for us? Do we go get Julio Jones? Do we trade down? And maybe we might be able to get a Ryan Mallett down, or we can get a Locker down, trade down and get Locker. We can try to, or we can draft the best defensive player now, trade down now, draft the best defensive player. Then in the second round, that's when we might not get Christian Ponder or get Locker. You know, so those are quarterbacks that we're capable of getting and could be productive. Hell, we might be interested in getting Tyrod Taylor, who had good combines. And I don't see why he's getting disrespected like that. Honestly, had a great passing career in Virginia Tech. There are quarterbacks that we can try to build around. You know what I mean? It's not a given. It's going to happen. No one thought Tom Brady this great phenomenon. You know, I think he's overrated, but this great phenomenon. And they got him in the sixth round, I believe, or the fifth. So let's just think about this. Like, let's trade down. I know everybody wants the best, like Julio Jones or this, that, and the other. I like Julio Jones. If we drafted Julio Jones, I wouldn't be mad. But ideally, I would love to trade down. You tell me what you think, folks. You tell me. All right. You can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Whoa, this is a quick show. I think I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed the solo show. I hope you enjoyed it. This was an interesting show, matter of fact. I got to get all my opinions out about the Redskins. Usually I have Will or Ray to come here and chastise me, and you know, Fish to chastise me too, as well as being a Cowboys fan. Big ups to Fish. First things first, congratulations to Fish. He had a beautiful baby boy. Born, matter of fact, on my birthday, April 23rd. Appreciated. You all are blessed. Great child, especially be blessed to have your child to be born April 23rd. It's April 23rd, where a great Nigerian young man was born himself. Great. That's a great job. Big ups to my homeboy, Ray, couldn't make it. It's my homie. Big ups to my man, Will. My homie couldn't make it. Who am I forgetting? Oh yeah, and big ups to everybody who helped me party on my 30th birthday. You all don't know what it meant. We, like I said earlier, we was popping bottles. We like rock stars. There's pictures out there on my Facebook. Just check out, you know, look out for Wally, Mr. Emmy, Facebook, you know, that's him, that's me getting in like a rock star. Who else am I forgetting? Yeah, man, it was great. And also, I'm gonna give y'all a little update. New Orleans is down 2-4 to the Lakers early. I know, doesn't really matter. But yeah, let me, give y'all the wrap up. If you all want to listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can catch us on the Apple G's radio show Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ApoG's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. You can also catch us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WCStillAFan. Once again, I'm going to tell you I probably won't be on the show this Thursday. I'm going to try, but I probably won't, but I have a good feeling that my homeboy Ray Jeezy will be on the show, so definitely listen to the show. Tune in, it's gonna be a great show. Yeah, it's over, man. It's a great show. Show definitely did go on, and we're gonna holler at y'all later, man. Take it easy.